We're back for another season. It's the first in-season edition. Well, not technically the first in-season. I did do one on Monday after the Clippers played, but it's the first episode of the full season of minor league baseball. We've now had Clippers games. Rubber Ducks. I almost said Arrows. I came very close to saying Arrows. That would have been a big gaffe on my part. Rubber Ducks. We've had three Captains games. There was a rainout, and we've had three Lynchburg Hillcats games, but they haven't been home yet. But they also have the most interesting roster of anybody in the Cleveland farm system right now. So, of course, our first in-season edition of Guardians of the Future had to be with Lynchburg Hillcats broadcaster and Cleveland native Jason Prill. I believe, Jason, you were the last guest of the show to end 2023, and you are also the first broadcast guest. We had Will Dion on over the offseason, so, but you were the first broadcast guest of 2024. So you're a back-to-back guest. Look at that.
Well, if I have to come second to somebody, I'm glad it's Will Dion. He's one of my favorite guys that I've worked with so far. So I'll let it slide this time. But no, it's fun being a bookend, kind of wrapping up last season, now beginning this season. I can't imagine it any other way.
It was a good end of the year last year for the Hillcats. Had a very interesting roster most of the year. Some guys got promoted, which was good. But of course, you know, you had Jason Scherer at the end of the year, which was kind of the big draw. And this year's roster, I mean, this is why we had to start off the show with this, because, man, this roster is filled. I don't even know where to start. I guess Jason Churio was the big news last year, and now it's like, move over, Jason. You're no longer big news. Ralphie Velasquez is here. Alex Clemmie is here. And then we got to talk about Matt the Tugboat Wilkinson. I mean, man, and I didn't even mention Rafael Ramirez. Like, there's just so many good places to go. I want to caution people, though, because this is going to be a very young team. This is a very young and inexperienced team. And, you know, names are fun. They're fun. But sometimes when you have a young roster like that, results can be a little bit different. But you guys already had your media day. You got to know these guys a little bit, did some fun stuff. I'm looking forward to all the broadcast shenanigans this year, because you guys look like you had media day ready to go with some fun stuff. But what was your vibe on media day of these guys?
You know, you're exactly right, Justin. It is a very young team, but I think that's a good thing. I think that's one of those things that should excite a lot of Guardians fans. Minor league baseball is not about wins or losses, and that's something that I had to learn very early on, because I'm a guy that wants to win. I watched Cleveland sports growing up. I want to win, but I'm used to losing. You know what I mean? So being in minor league baseball, you really have to start to learn that it's okay to lose, but the mindset of these players is not that they want to lose. I was talking with a couple of the guys, Robert Lopez specifically, who's one of the catchers on this year's team, who was with Lynchburg a little bit last year. He came up to me and he said, "We're going to win a championship. We want to win a championship. We want that ring." And so they're a confident group. They might not have the 3-0 start that we had wanted coming back from down east, but they're still 0-3, but every game was a one-run loss. And for a team this young, first, you have to learn how to lose well. Then you have to learn how to win close games. And then you can learn how to win consistently. So they're right on track. They're right on pace. And I think this team is confident enough that they're not going to break stride starting out 0-3.
Yeah, it was an interesting start. You know, a couple of games where they did score some runs. You know, six runs twice. They lost 6-7, 7-6 twice. And then a 1-0 game, which would, you know, you wouldn't expect from this lineup. Because that opening lineup, man, was just like, whoo. This is good. This is fun. And they did score six runs, which was good. Now Alex Clemmie got off to a good start. And then, yeah, it kind of hit the skids a little bit there. I think Clemmie needed like 11 pitches in the first inning to strike out three batters. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then, of course, I opened my mouth on Twitter and I said, oh, that's it. He's going to be great. And then the wheels kind of fell off for Alex. But you saw him in person. I mean, this roster is filled with big dudes. I mean, Velasquez is a big kid. Clemmie is a big kid. Rafael Ramirez, you look at him, he's got a lot of size. There are some big guys on this. I mean, you know, Harlow's 6'3", and you've got the Tugboat, obviously, on there. But there are some really sizable guys in this team. Jake Berry. Jake Berry is, like, the lankiest. Like, you think Tristan McKenzie is very lanky. Jake Berry is all arms and legs. There are some big kids on this team.
Well, it was really funny. On media day, I had a couple of the local media people at the stadium. And they were like, is he really 6'10"? And they're like, there's no way he's actually 6'10". And I said, just wait.
He's 6'10".
And he comes walking into the clubhouse, and they all turned and went,
Yep.
And I was like, I think you figured out who he is. That's Jake Berry. He is, in fact, 6'10". He's a very tall human being. He's a twig. He's lanky. Like you said, Tristan McKenzie. But no, you're exactly right. They are a young team, but they don't look that young. They are bulky in the term of they have a lot of muscle behind them, or they have height, they have size. So even though it's a young team, they're built like baseball players. They're built like athletes. We don't really have many, not to throw Jose Devers under the bus, but Jose Devers he's small. Dion Frias is a pretty small guy. There's really not that of the named prospects of the A-team players coming through Lynchburg this season. These are big guys. These are guys that they have enough muscle, enough strength to really showcase a little bit more than just contact swings.
Yeah, that's the big change this year, right? As everyone's looking for a little more muscle, a little bit more than just making contact. And they're, you know, you think these guys are built to play a full season too. That's the big thing. This is, for a lot of these guys, it's the first time they're going to be playing a full season. Rafael Ramirez has been in the complex leagues, and you've had Juan Benjamin, you've had a couple other guys. The Christian Napsic played in college. You know, you've had Antunez. Churio got there late in the year. But for like Tommy Hawk played in college. Clemmy is, you know, just fresh out of high school, really. Humphreys got there a little bit late last year too, and he was interesting. We should mention him. But yeah, that size, that muscle you're talking about, hopefully not only are we talking about power arms and some guys looking to do more damage this year, but you got to be, that's the biggest thing I think people miss, is that physically you have to be prepared to play for 6 months and do it on your own. And that's the thing people miss every day, is you got to get your body in shape and have a good routine to be able to last the full season. I think that's the big thing. You have bigger athletes, they're strong. And even though they're young kids, they physically should be ready to handle the rigors. And that's what you hopefully are excited about, because when you get to the second half, you know, that's where the dog days kind of kick in, as we've seen.
And I've talked about that in the past couple of years on my broadcasts, is a lot of these guys will hit a midseason slump, especially a lot of the college guys, because they're used to being done playing in June. Like, that's when they wrap up their season. That's the last time they throw a baseball until August, maybe. And so they're in a situation now where they're now having to play an extra 2-3 months from what they're consistently used to. And yes, most of them will play summer ball and all that kind of stuff, but the wear and tear, the rigor of a season is just not the same as what you see in minor league baseball. And so you see a lot of guys, they'll get to about that early June point, and all of a sudden their numbers will take a pretty noticeable dip. And you start wondering, well, why is that? Well, it's because they're not used to playing this many days, this many games, this long into the summer, and that regularly into the summer. Because in the Cape League, if they're playing in the Cape, and you're not playing 6 days a week, that's just not feasibly possible all the time. And so you might be subbed in and out. But for a lot of these guys, they're playing 5 days a week here in Lynchburg, and that's just a lot on top of the long travel that they're going to have to participate in, and it's all bus travel. If the college guys, they went to a big school, they might have had chartered flights across the country. We're not doing that anymore. It's all bus trips, and it's all overnight bus trips. And so it's going to take a wear and tear on them. And so you see those numbers dip a little bit, but the size is definitely going to help, because they're built to last longer into the summer. They're built to last longer into the season. So hopefully that means less injuries, less fatigue, and the numbers will either stay consistent or they'll begin to rise as the year goes on.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm glad you brought up the bus trips too, because a lot of these guys, you know, you get like a Tommy Hawk who went to Wake Forest. That's a top tier program, probably flying to a lot of ACC matchups or wherever else. Yeah. Now it'll be 7-hour bus trips, and they're tight and they're cramped. But I do kind of like, I mean, I know, and you said too, like, this team wants to win, and winning isn't always a great indicator of what a good good team of prospects is. Because I mean, I 2010, I was up here with Lake County and I watched them win the championship. And I want to say, like, Roberto Perez and Tyler Holt were the only guys that made it to the majors from that club. It wasn't a great, you know, didn't have a lot of future stars. And I've seen other teams that just, you know, didn't win much, and they ended up having a lot of future guys go up to the big league clubs. So that's not always a good indicator, but Cleveland is one of those organizations that, you know, winning isn't like a big deal to them in the minors. You'd like it to be for, you know, affiliate sakes, because that, you know, ticket sales are better that way. It's more fun for you guys, things like that. And you get to the postseason, which everybody wants. And playing in the postseason is good too for these kids, because it gives them something to play competitively for. Like, this is where I like the Dodgers approach. The Dodgers for years have always been a team that's like very prioritized winning in the minors, and not at the, you know, not to curtail development, right? They're not going to go out there and win at all costs and hurt the development of players, but they do want these guys to develop a winning attitude, and they do want them to get used to the idea of what it takes to go to the ballpark and win every day. And yeah, you got to develop and be ready to help the big league club someday. That's the goal. But, you know, chasing, playing playoff games, playing games that matter, pressure pack situations, you can't simulate that. Like a June 1st game at Bank of the James Stadium is not the same as, you know, game four of the Carolina League playoffs. Like there is a different feel to that. So it is good that these kids are coming in and they feel that, because that's what you want at the end of the year. Winning should be part of the development. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a reason the Dodgers are a model organization. I know they have the money, but they develop a lot of homegrown players too, and they develop some pretty good ones. So good mindset for these kids to come in with, I would say.
No, and I completely agree. And that's something that the manager, Jordan Smith, has emphasized over and over again, is we have to teach these guys how to win. Yes, we have to make them better baseball players. We have to make them more consistent in what they do well and improve in areas that they do poorly. But part of that is learning how to win. How do you show up at the ballpark Tuesday through Sunday and compete and try to go out there and win every single day? Because that is part of the game of baseball. If you just go and you try to make it to the majors and all you're doing is development, that's going to hurt when you get to the majors, because you're not going to know how to win. But if you can kind of stop that learning curve, and that's kind of what we saw in Cleveland 2 years ago with the Guardians, when all these young guys came up, is they knew how to win. They had learned how to win in the minor leagues, and they were able to jump right in and win by surprise, and nothing fazed them. Nothing scared them. And that's what you really want to see in your prospects, is you want to prepare them well enough to where nothing scares them. Nothing's too big of a moment. Nothing's too intimidating for them. The Guardians, they do a good job. Obviously, we're not the Dodgers. We'd love to be the Dodgers, but the Dodgers have a bit more of this than Cleveland tends to have, mainly because of their market. But Cleveland does do a good job of emphasizing winning, and I think you saw that 2 years ago. And I think last year, injuries cost Cleveland, obviously. But these guys know how to win, and they're learning how to win, and that's something that's important.
That is. And Jordan, I'm glad you brought Jordan Smith too, because he's a good one to learn from, I think, because he was he wasn't like a big name prospect. I really liked him, and it was someone I missed on saying I think he could be a future big leaguer, and obviously he wasn't. You know, he's coaching. So he's a good one to learn from, because he, you know, he was a high draft pick in his own right. And he played for a couple of years in the minors, and people thought, you know, decently of him, and it didn't work out for him. So, you know, he's a good manager to lead this team. And you've got Tony Arnold, who's been around forever. He's been up and down all the system. You've got young pitchers. So these, and this is also, is this Jordan's second year managing?
It's his second year with Lynchburg, but he was with Arizona the year before.
That's right. Yeah, because he was the captain's bench coach for a year when he first got into this. So, you know, it's his second year. This roster is interesting from that standpoint, because if you're talking about balancing development and winning, and you probably have some guys down there that will help out the newer kids. Like, there are a lot of new kids who are playing at this level for the first time, but you're getting Churio back, who was there at the end of the year. So he's learned something. And Tunez is back. Hopefully he's learned some things himself. you got Angel Hanau, who was there late in the year, and Juan Benjamin, and, you know, Lopez, like you said, was there, and you've got Richardson and Jaziak, and Humphreys was there at the end of the year. So there is a mix of returning guys that do have a lot of talent. So they've kind of gotten a taste of what it's like there. They know what to expect now. And then you've got, you know, a lot of other younger players too that are new, but that generally is how you do have a pretty cohesive team in the minors that can develop winning, because you do have guys, like, you don't ever want guys to repeat a level necessarily. Sometimes that happens just because of other levels, what playing time is available, and sometimes guys just do need to repeat levels. But hopefully they've learned something and they can pass that on to some of the newer kids. And when I look at this roster, I do see a mix of guys who maybe they could, like a Angel Hanau or Antunez probably could be at Lake County, right? But they're, maybe the playing time is more available at Lynchburg. But that's going to help out maybe some younger guys kind of get settled into this. Because the other factor in this, too, as people always forget, is like a Rafael Ramirez, like, for example. This is the first time he's going to be living in, you know, in Lynchburg. Like, he's never lived anywhere in the northern part of the United States. He's always played in his hometown, or he's played in Arizona. So, like, these guys are getting acclimated to living on their own for the first time. So I think it helps to have some of these older guys, not older, but guys who have been here at least for a couple of months, to kind of bring them along.
It really does. And you can see that in the clubhouse on media day, just the group of veterans, I use veterans loosely, one season
right, of minor for league that baseball, level.
Yes. The group of veterans that we have, they were good people to bring back. I mean, Angel Hanau, I mean, he's been here. This is actually will be his third season in Lynchburg, because he came up at the end of two seasons ago, and then he was injured to start last year and spent the second half of the season with Lynchburg. So he understands. He knows what the rigors are like. He knows what how difficult it can be in the dog days of summer. Juan Benjamin, he's another guy that was here, and he learned how to win. I mean, I still go back to the final at bat of last season when he hit the walk-off base hit to put a nice little bow on what we saw of the 2023 Hillcats. And now he's back here. And that's just extra wisdom and extra knowledge that can be passed along. Those are guys that, along with Jordan Smith, can come along some of these guys who are maybe spending a full year in the United States for the first time ever. And so there's that adjustment period. There's that learning curve. And guys like Angel Hanau, his English is now really strong, and it's really impressive. He did whole interviews in English on Media Day, which was really cool. So that's the other thing that you have to realize is a lot of these guys don't know how to speak English, but they have returners who have gone through maybe more extensive training on learning the language. And so they're helping, and they can translate, and there's more of a unity, more of a bond, because now you have the American guys, the draft guys, the United States guys, who can easily communicate with some of their Latin American counterparts. And that's something that it just creates more cohesiveness. It creates more unity and allows the team to be united as one, which I'm really excited about, because now you have those guys that can translate really easily or really strong, who can just help bridge that gap and really ease into minor league baseball for some of these younger guys, like a Rafael Ramirez, like a Gonzalez, an Esteban Gonzalez, guys like that, who show some flashes of talent, but there's that learning curve that comes with it. And they now have people that they can rely on, and now a bigger group of people who can also communicate with them and help them.
Churio is a good one too, because I heard over the offseason about how seriously he took learning English. So it sounds like he is learning the language and is really taking that seriously, which is good. I wanted to ask you if there's anybody you saw at Media Day that kind of, like, returners that stood out to you, that, like, when I saw, I was down in Arizona for like a couple days during spring training, and I saw Churio, and to me, he looked bigger. He physically looked like he had filled out. And I already know, like, Ramirez is a big kid, but is there anybody there from the team last year that came back that you're looking at, looks physically bigger, or just was very different to you in terms of mindset or attitude or fit, you know, physically, whatever, that just really stood out to you on Media Day?
Yeah, I think Churio is a good example of that. He definitely looked a lot bigger, a lot stronger. And that's something I'm really excited about, because that's the one aspect of his offensive game that was a little lagging. I'm not going to say far behind, but it was behind the rest of his game. He didn't have the power that his brother has. And so if he can just develop even just a pinch of that, I think he's in for a good season. But I keep going back to Angel Hanau, just his energy and his life. We had a media member there who commented that he has the biggest smile. He's got a major league smile, and that's part of it. If you can look the part, you can impress and turn some heads, and he looks the part. He's got that swagger. He's got that confidence. He has that smile. And the other name that really comes to my mind of a guy that I was like, man, I don't remember you being this big last year, was Robert Lopez. When he stood next to me after our fan fest and was telling me that this team wants to win a championship, I was thinking, you were not this big last year. You were not, you've bulked up in a good sense. And so I think he's another guy. And of the two catchers, he ended up having the better offensive season, and that's not what he came into Lynchburg expected to do. And he contributed. And I think that with this new power, I'm excited to see, or this new physique, I guess you could say, I'm excited to see if he can really continue to grow and develop that offensive game, because he really, it caught my attention. Typically, I don't notice it too much because I'm in the press box and all that kind of stuff and running through the clubhouse trying to get stuff to coaches. But he was the one that I was like, you look a little bit different. and part of that's just maturity, but another part of it is he definitely added some bulk to him. So I'm excited to have a sturdy catcher back there who's great defensively, but if he can get that bat consistent and improve upon last year, he's another guy that I think could really turn some heads.
Fans want to hear about catchers in Lynchburg. So there's one, obviously we got to talk about Ralphie. We'll get there in a second. So if you're listening and you haven't heard about Ralphie yet and you're frustrated, hang on. But you know, you're talking about look good, feel good, play good. If you're watching on YouTube, you notice Jason's jacket. We got to talk about, the outfit, man. We got to talk about what you guys got going for the home opener on Tuesday. Look good, feel good, perform good, right?
Absolutely. Well, hopefully the broadcast performs good. That's what I'm hoping for, but there's no.
Fans need that TV and audio, man. We need that after the weekend in Down East. Fans don't let them down. They're depending on a good broadcast for that lineup on Tuesday night. All right.
I will. I'll wholeheartedly apologize here because I actually was asked to go down to Down East, but I had already committed to working some games here in Lynchburg. And so I was unable to go down there. I would have gone and I would have broadcasted a radio only feed if I had more than one day's notice, but unfortunately I had already committed to, doing some softball here in Lynchburg, and it was going to pay a little bit better than what I would have gotten paid if I had gone down. So I had to make a business decision. I apologize, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to see some great baseball here on Tuesday. Well, all the front office staff will be wearing these jackets. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary as the Hillcats, which means, what was that, 94, 95 is when we switched over from just the Red Sox and then the Mets before then. We were always an affiliate name. And then we became our own brand. And so we're celebrating 30 years. And so we're a lot of this season, we're going to be throwing it back to the 90s. And so am I dressed like Vanilla Ice? Maybe, but it's going to be something that turns some heads and gets people talking. And I've made sure I don't have a vanity cam on me this season so that you won't be able to see this on the broadcast. But I'll see if we can get a camera shot or two of everyone else in the front office who doesn't like to be on camera either to get that on the broadcast feed. But we have some fun stuff planned in and around the ballpark and on the broadcast this season. I'm really excited for the things that we have in store, some of the ideas that we're running with, and hopefully it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a great broadcast. We're really upping it this year, and hopefully the production quality. And for you guys back at home, you're going to have more ways to watch than ever before. We're on the three different streaming services too, and I don't know if this has been a season started. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Bally Live has the Bally Live Ohio now, which is a minor league conglomerate of all of the Guardians and Reds affiliates. And they're going to pick one team a night and feature it on that page. And so you can watch all of the different games from that little feed on this streaming channel, which is a really cool thing. So that's an even easier way to get access to your favorite teams. And it's free. They don't pay me to say this, but well, they kind of do. But it's something that if you haven't downloaded it already and you love baseball, and you love minor league baseball, but maybe you can't afford MLB or MILB TV, it's a great option. Bally Live, the Bally Live app, it's free on the App Store. You can get every minor league game for free, whether we're on Bally Live Ohio that night or not. Every Hillcats game is free on that app. And so we got some great stuff in store. And so it's a great way to tune in.
I like it. Yeah, that's how you grow the game. Absolutely. That's a great pitch right there. We're breaking some news on here. I like it. I was going to say your jacket looked more like a Saved by the Bell graphic. That's what I was going for.
You know, you're right. If I had the cool suaveness of what was the main character? Is it Zach?
Zach Morris.
Yeah, if I could be Zach Morris or Slater, I think this would be a little bit bigger or a little bit better. But unfortunately, I don't have the body type of a Zach Morris or a Slater. I'm a little bit more jelly rollish, if you will.
They didn't have that character on the show. Trust me, I watched that show. I have the same physique, so they didn't have that character on the show. Closest you probably got was Screech, R.I.P. Dustin Diamond.
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So fans have a lot of chances to watch a very exciting team and hear your voice, which is good. Because if you haven't been over to Jason's Twitter, I want to give him a quick shout out. That production, your intro, we're going to be hearing that a lot this year too. That intro, go over to his Twitter and just go listen to that, because that was some high quality production right there. Good intro. I'm looking forward to hearing that at six. What time is pregame start on there?
Yeah, we revamped our entire pregame show. We're going live at 6:10, and we're going to have an interview before the game every single night. We've already got about 20 locked and loaded in the can of all the top prospects from the team. And so we're going to be slowly releasing those out every single night. And so we're pretty pumped about that. So 6:10 is when that goes live. And the production that you're talking about, that is going to hit around 6:23, because we're going to be live by the time the team takes the field for the lineup and the national anthem. And so we'll be back for that. So you can tune in live, get the broadcast open, and then hear the national anthem. Because I'm a firm believer that that's one of the best parts of a baseball game is hearing the lineup announced and getting the national anthem and hearing play ball. And then you're right into it. I think that's a great thing to have. And so I try to include that on my broadcast. And so 6:23 is probably when you're going to hear that little production element. But I appreciate the kind words. That took a long time to edit and a long time to make. And I have a great voiceover guy. I got to shout out Mitch Bala. He's a Northeast Ohio native. He went to Massillon Jackson. He was a polar bear. And so he's a big Guardians fan. We were interns at ESPN Cleveland together a while back. And so we've developed a really good friendship. He's got an outstanding voice. And now he's the JV coach over for Hoban Baseball. And so I got to give him a shout out. He took some time to record all the voiceovers for me and really helped turn that piece into what it is. So I'm thankful for him. I had to give him a shout out here while I had the chance.
Look at all these Ohio ties we've got going on here. That's where it all begins. So we just had the women's Final Four. Everything's coming up Northeast Ohio and Cleveland these days. See?
And the eclipse.
Yeah, you know, I live in the city where there's a path of totality. I'm an Avon Laker. I don't know if I'm comfortable shouting out where my city, where I live, but I live in
Avon. Edit that out later.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to edit that out. Maybe I'm gonna have people stalking me. But like they were telling us, like thousands and thousands of people are gonna be coming to our city for this whole eclipse. And my wife and I were out walking today, and I was like, there's nobody here. Like there's no influx of people. Like, so I don't know. I'd be curious to see what happens on Monday in Cleveland with the home opener. Cause there were not as many people here as we were expecting. So I don't know what it'll be like in Cleveland.
It'll be interesting to see. You know. I was trying to get home, but of course they had a scheduled opening day for us the next day. So I wasn't able to make it home.
Yeah. I got to get down there your way one of these days. Cause I want to come see a guy who does have a good physique is Ralphie Velasquez. What was it like getting to know him on during the media day? And I think the question obviously everybody wants to ask too, if you have any insight here, is the initial roster listed him as a first base, and on the website he's listed as a catcher. So obviously that's the burning question everyone is trying to figure out. Is he going to play first? He's going to catch? I'm sure it's going to be both, honestly.
I'm not so certain it's going to be both, if I'm completely honest. I think he's going to be strictly first base. I asked the question directly. I said, what's the playing time going to be split up between the catchers to see if I would get Ralphie Velasquez's name in there. And I was told, now granted, by one of the catchers, I was told three games each. So Mejias will get three, Lopez will get three. That's what I was told by Lopez. That's the plan that he's been informed of. And what he told me, I guess I shouldn't be revealing my source, but I was told that Velasquez is going to be over at first base for the majority, if not all, of the season. We already saw him get an off day today, and they had to rotate somebody over to first base with Juan Benjamin flexing into that position, which was a little unique. For all the Guardians fans who are curious, it looks like he's making the full-time switch over to first base. But I think you'll be okay with that, because everything else I'm about to tell you, you're going to realize why that's an exciting move. Consummate professional. I've never met a guy that young. He's what, 18 years old, 19 years old, with that much confidence in himself, and not a cockiness either. It's just a confidence, a professional attitude. It's a business mindset. Yes, he's playing a game. Yes, he's having fun, but you can just tell just the way that he interacts with people, talks with the fans, approaches his work, approaches BP. It's very professional. And that's something that's going to really help him advance through this organization very quickly, especially in a position of somewhat need of a first base. Obviously, you have Manzardo, but you're really excited about Velasquez too. And so they can take their time with it, and he's only going to build that confidence even more. The other thing that I think is important to note is he is stocky. He is built like a Major League Baseball player. There are guys who come through and you're like, oh, well, they need to add some more pounds if they're ever going to make it. They need to really muscle up if they're going to be able to find some success. Not Ralphie Velasquez. He came in and immediately demanded the room, and just the way that his posture even is just professional, MLB ready, if I dare to say. So all those in unteachable attributes or uncoachable attributes that you look for in a kid are there, and that's really exciting. And then his bat. Listen, I didn't get to go down to Down East, and I know the numbers coming out of this weekend for him. He's got one hit. But watching him take BP the other day during Fan Fest, the crack of that bat is something I haven't heard in Lynchburg in this being my third season. It was so loud, so crisp, and his swing was so pure. Every single thing that he hit was just an easy line drive. He wasn't even trying, and the ball was just coming out off his bat with so much velocity and so much force. And it was dropped right in gaps. One of them hit the wall. It's a swing we haven't seen in Lynchburg in who knows how long. And so that I'm very excited about. And so that's why you make the switch to first base, is you have to protect that bat. He has all the characteristics of a guy that you think can make a run toward Major League Baseball. And you need to protect that bat. You don't want his knees giving out before he can get there. So you protect everything about him so that he can make that trek. And by the time he's ready, and by the time either Manzardo fills the position or they need to find a replacement or whatever it is, whenever his call-up is ready, his knees are going to be good and he's going to be able to support himself and he's going to be able to jump right in and contribute. So that's why you move him over to first base right away and don't even give him a chance at catcher, because you need to protect that kid.
Yeah, that was the hope when they drafted him, and everyone kind of wondered, was like, will he stick a catcher? I mean, maybe he can, maybe he can't, but the hope probably is that the bat is so good that you don't want to waste time on catcher, that you want the bat to go to the major. So we'll see how long he's at Lynchburg this year. The way you're talking about him, it sounds like, I don't know, second half we might see him move up a little bit, but he is young. Like you said, he turns 19 about 10 weeks from now, so he's got some time, but yeah, he could move pretty fast. We'll see. They should have a lot of kids also coming along later in the year too, but there's also not a lot of room to move up too. So I think Lynchburg might be pretty stacked with this roster for a good portion of the year.
And I would agree with that. I think when people have asked me how long are we going to have Velasquez, I think he's going to be here for a little while, simply because he's making that transition to first base. You're able to give him a lot of reps, everyday reps at first base. It's an easy place to make mistakes. The pressure is as little as it can be in Lynchburg, Virginia. And so there's not that I need to get this quickly because I'm being thrust into the next level. You have a chance to really work and just solidify. Take the time here, get it solid, get it consistent, and get it ready. And so make sure he's ready before you move up. And I think that's what Cleveland's going to do. I think he'll be in Lynchburg for a decent amount of the season. I'm not going to say the whole year, but I think he'll be here for a long time.
Alex Clemmy, probably similar. You look at Velasquez in terms of his body type and looks like a guy that belongs. I think Clemmy probably needs to add a little bit of weight at some point just because he's a big kid. But you look at him and you're like, okay, this looks like the beginnings of a top pitching prospect. And like I said, things went well to start Friday and they didn't all end well. But any takeaways from him? I mean, when I saw him in Arizona for the first time, I was like, okay, not as big as Jake Berry, but he's a pretty darn big kid himself.
Yeah, he's another lanky guy, another Tristan McKenzie type build. And the one thing that you'll be excited to hear is all he wants to do is pitch. There's no distractions for him. He came in, and the only thing he kept emphasizing on media day was, I'm ready to pitch. I'm here to pitch. I'm here to play baseball. He didn't want any of the distractions. He didn't talk about golf like some of the other guys do whenever they get there on media day. Like, oh, like I'm looking forward to going and playing golf at some of our local golf courses. He didn't do any of that. It was, I'm here to pitch. I want to pitch. I want to throw. I want to make it to the majors. And so that is his mentality. That's his mindset. He's got a goal set out, and he's determined to achieve that. And obviously the numbers don't look perfect after his start on Friday, but you have to give him a little bit of a break. I mean, it's his first low A start, and I can't, when was the last time he had pitched before then? It had been a
high school.
Yeah. High school. So that's a big jump. High school to low A is still a big jump because you are facing college guys and you're facing guys who have come through other people's academies. And so they've been playing high level competition. High school guys, you get who's on your schedule. You don't get prospects all the time. So it was his first real test of, all right, I'm facing guys who are making the trek to the majors, not just trying to earn a varsity letter in high school. So it was a test, but I think you got to get the arm loose a little bit. You get him comfortable on the mound. You get him a couple starts. I think he'll be fine because he's got that mentality and demeanor that I think is going to pave his way very, very well.
Yeah, I'd agree. A lot of good things I heard about him in high school. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that develops. Their control will be something to work on, but that's kind of what everybody's working on at this level, as you've probably seen, is control is always not the first thing that pitchers come and bring to low A, but that is not the case for one, the Tugboat, Matt Wilkins, and that guy is a strike thrower. If you are not familiar with the Tugboat yet, you will be very soon. Very good first start for him. He started on, was that today he started?
That was Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. 9 strikeouts in 5 innings, affectionately known as the Tugboat, 6'1", 270, a native of Canada, but also went to a junior college at Central Arizona JC, also pitched in the Cape. This is hilarious. When I was doing Lockdown Guardians with Jeff, we were just going through stats because the Guardians have a type. They like guys that perform well in the Cape Cod League. That's something they always look at. And I saw Wilkinson on there, and I'm like, wow, this guy, really great numbers. No walks, a lot of strikeouts, Cape. That's a huge indicator. And I looked, and I'm like, oh, well, this is a junior college kid, and he's, you know, a very big man. I'm like, so I guess that's not happening. And then, lo and behold, 10th round last year, they called his name. We didn't talk about him as a draft prospect on Lockdown Guardians because I thought, well, maybe they won't go that route. But they did, and you know, he's gotten himself into a little bit better shape as he's gotten into pro ball. He'll probably continue to work on that. But, man, that's a heck of a first start for a guy who comes from, you know, Canada, which is the, you know, British Columbia, I think is from where Cade Smith is from, and a junior college. 5 innings, 9 strikeouts for your first outing. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, you really can't ask for much more than that. When I saw him being the I'm not going to say number two because I don't think he's the number two pitcher, but starting the second game of the season, I was a little bit thrown off by that because he is a little bit of a bigger guy and he's not a well-known prospect. And before we sound mean calling him Tugboat, his Instagram name is Tugboat. So he goes by that. That's what he likes to be called. It's all over the internet. So he loves being called Tugboat. That's just kind of his branding. But I got a little bit of a chance to talk with him. He's a quiet guy, very, a little bit standoffish, but just a very nice guy, very kind, just easy to talk to. We talked a little bit of hockey too, because he's a Canadian guy. And I asked him if he'd ever played. He said, no, he was all focused on baseball growing up. And so all he ever did was play baseball, but he likes hockey. He's been dreaming about this and planning for this and preparing himself for these moments since he was a little kid Northwest Canada, I believe. And so he's been waiting for this, and he took his moment and he shined. Unfortunately, Lynchburg still walked away with the loss that night, but no fault to him. 5 innings, 9 strikeouts. I mean, this is the point of the year where nobody goes 5 innings and nobody gets 9 strikeouts. And so it was really impressive to see that. And I'm even more excited for his start this coming week in Lynchburg to see what he has in store for this season, to really get a better look at his repertoire and what he's able to demonstrate. We got some fun things for him too. We got a Tugboat sound a foghorn whenever he gets a strikeout. I think we're going to play that every time, just emphasizing the Tugboat mentality.
I think he'll be playing that sound a lot because, like I said, he throws a lot of strikes, and that's something a lot of guys at this level aren't prepared for is quality strikes, and that's just been his reputation. I know he hasn't faced, you know, super high-level competition, but he has been in the Cape, and in some ways, the Cape Cod League is very similar. You're facing guys, you know, that are top-tier college hitters, so he'll be facing similar guys at low A, and think that'll make him successful. And I think he'll become a fan favorite down there. I have no doubt about that. And he seems like a guy who's going to be a fun teammate. Everyone likes him. And yeah, I'm excited to watch him pitch and hear your call and hear what you think about him. But I would imagine you'll be playing that sounder quite a bit. I think he's going to strike some dudes out just because of his ability to hit his spots. That's what's separated him. And that's why he's here. Honestly, if he didn't hit his spots the way he did, I don't think anybody, you know, Cleveland's not looking at him, but they did. And so I think you'll be playing that sounder quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, you think about the last guy that Lynchburg had that could really hit their spots was Will Dion 2 years ago. And look where he is now. He's all the way up in AAA. That's a guy he's a command guy. He's not going to blow by you, but there's still a market for command and it's necessary. And especially in a level like Lynchburg, it's going to put some eye-popping numbers on the page. So I'm excited to see what Tugboat's able to do and how he can contribute this year.
We haven't really touched on Ramirez a whole lot. We didn't talk about Humphreys a lot. I think Humphreys was good at the end of the year last year, and obviously he was coming out of high school too. So I'm curious to see what he does this year because I do like him a lot as a pitcher. I think he's got a chance to grow a lot this season. And, you know, Ramirez is kind of a darling for everybody. I mean, he's got some power from a shortstop. I don't know if he'll stay at shortstop. He looks like a dude that might outgrow the position, but a lot of power in that swing from that side of the ball, and just a really big kid with a really great arm. So I'm interested to see. Seems like he's one of those kids too who looks like a lot of fun, has a big smile, and obviously also the son. I believe he's the son of a former Atlanta Brave.
Yeah, all-star Rafael Ramirez, and by the same name. And you're exactly right. And I'm going to say a name because of personality. I'm not projecting this onto him. Francisco Lindor, that kind of personality, that kind of character, that kind of swagger, that's who you can picture when you think of Rafael Ramirez Jr. He's got a big smile. He's got a lot of energy. He's a nice guy. He went out of his way to talk to me, introduce himself to me, which is something that you really don't see from a lot of guys who grew up in some of the Latin American countries. They're a bit more standoffish with me because I don't know much Spanish, and so they don't really make their way over and want to interact too much. They'll still give me a fist bump, and we'll have a short conversation. But he really went out of his way just to really get to know me a little bit more, talk to me about his brand that he has. He'll wear an arm sleeve this year with his own logo, which is really cool that his agent helped design for him. And it's a really, really sleek logo. And I'll get some pictures of that up on social media at some point here soon. But he had the pencil bat that I shared a couple of days ago. He's got a really, really flashy glove that I'm excited to see. It's Lynchburg colors, which is something you don't see very often. Guys getting Lynchburg themed clothing and apparel and gear. And so he already did that and he's ready to go with that. So I think he's going to be another guy that fans are going to love to watch and really enjoy along for this ride. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think he's going to be just a great addition to this organization. And if that power is there like they think it is, boy, is he going to be fun to watch.
He sure is. Anybody else that stands out for you before we move on? I wanted to talk about, you know, some promo stuff too. Anybody else on the list I haven't really talked about yet that you're really excited about? I mean, you know, we talked about Clemmy. I mentioned Humphreys is back. We talked about Velasquez. I know Benjamin's back. Knapsack has the first home run. Anybody? I mean, we probably should have said something about Hawk because that's not too far of a drive for Wake Forest fans, where obviously he was popular. So anybody else that we should really touch on before we kind of talk about some promo stuff?
Well, I'll just throw out Knapsack because he had a great weekend this past weekend. And he's a guy that a lot of people may not view as a top prospect simply because he's not listed in the top 30 of MLB pipeline. But he had probably the best weekend of anybody on the team. And he had his first home run and his first career minor league game. And so he's a guy that I think could turn some heads. He's a smaller guy. He's built a little bit like Nate Fuermann was. But I think he's got a little bit more pop in his bat than Fuermann does. Obviously, I mean, he has a home run in his first game of Lynchburg baseball. And so that's a good sign. But I'm really excited to see him. I there's some pitchers that I am excited to see. Obviously, Jackson Humphreys. I'm interested to see Josh Harlow because I know a lot of people are excited about him and just what he could possibly offer and where he would have slotted into the draft. And I want to see the what step Jack Jasiak's able to take. I think he could be a guy that could become a bullpen arm. He was good last year. He had a couple rough outings that I think really hurt him and hurt his confidence. But I think he's got some good stuff. He's got a good slider that he threw a slider one time, and Samuel Basayo in the Baltimore Orioles organization, he's a top 100 prospect now. He hit a back foot slider and it was on his back foot and he crushed a grand slam with it. It was one of those Andrew Miller slider type pitches where it was going and he was able to turn on it and blast a grand slam. So it's a little bit of tough luck for Jasiak sometimes last year, which you can't do much when a guy is able to hit that kind of pitch. And so I want to see what he can do. I think he could be a good bullpen arm for Lynchburg this year.
Yeah, Jasiak's a good one to mention. And then you mentioned Harlow. Harlow probably would have went higher in the draft. I think he took a line drive off somewhere when he was finishing the season. So that knocked him out most of the year. But he's healthy now, so that's good, yeah.
I should also note, I was told this the other day, Tommy Hawk, he broke up a Jake Berry no-hitter while in college. And so they were ribbing about that when they first got to Lynchburg. And so there's a little bit of that ACC tension going on, which is really funny.
That's right. Berry is what, a Virginia guy? Virginia Tech?
UVA, right up the road, about an hour away.
Yeah, so that'll be good. You got some local guys down there, too. People will be down there recognizing those names, so...
And Harlow has family in Lynchburg, so that's even better, which will be really cool. So we're excited to have those people out at the ballpark because we love it when we can find those community ties and local connections, because that just makes the ballpark atmosphere that much more fun.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk. How about the 90s? You know, you're going to throw back to the 90s a lot this year as with the jacket. Let's talk about some other fun promos you're excited for this year. Do we want to just skip over the June 14th promo now, or, you know, how do you guys feel about that after this weekend?
He's still a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah. So yes, you can't take that away from him.
Yeah. And thankfully we put him in Hillcats gear on the bobblehead. So I guess it's a Shane Bieber bobblehead. And so we're really excited about it. We think that's going to be our biggest promo this summer. I'm slowly working on getting him to record a video for us. So Shane, if you're watching this video, please get a hold of my contact that I've been emailing back and forth with about this, and just agree to do it. It'll be totally easy and pain free. So a Shane Bieber bobblehead. Oh, yikes. But it'll be a fun night. It's not often that we did the 30 Hillcats in 30 years, and going through some of the names of players who have just jumped into Lynchburg and have been part of the organization. You think of a Jose Bautista, you think of guys like Tristan McKenzie, you think of Anthony Santander. Those are some of the bigger names that have come through just in recent memory. And then Shane Bieber, he's really the one pitcher that has left a mark on Major League Baseball in the last 30 years to come through Lynchburg. So we're excited to celebrate that, even though the news for Cleveland fans isn't as joyful as we'd like right now with his injury. But we're still going to celebrate the fact of what he was able to do while he was in Lynchburg within these last 30 years of Hillcats baseball.
What else we got? I know you got a couple jerseys. We've got throw it back to the 90s jerseys. I think you've got another one that I saw in there, looked really interesting. What was that? That was you got the Limonata shirt. You got the Copa della version one. That's always a good one. I enjoy that. I'm seeing this other one now here too. You got some interesting stuff going on here. What else? What is Duck a Dash night? Tell me about Duck a Dash. That's a very interesting promo name.
Yeah, we're giving out rubber ducks. And so I don't know if you know anything about the trend of ducking Jeeps. And if you've ever seen a Jeep drive behind you, there's all sorts of rubber ducks on the front windshield of a Jeep. And so we're buying into that. Lynchburg has a lot of Jeep people. There's actually, I think this is being partnered with like a Jeep club in Lynchburg. And so they're bringing out all their Jeeps. They're going to park them right out front of the stadium. And we're going to hand out rubber ducks so that they can decorate their Jeeps or whatever car you're driving. I drive an SUV, so I'm still going to put my rubber duck on my dash and rock it that way. But so that's Duck a Dash night. We're breaking out the Rubber Ducks for it. And it's going to be I'm trying to see if we can get an Akron representative down here for that night. I think Ooh. That would be funny. Or get them to send their own giant inflatable duck. I think that would be really cool too. So if you have any of the Akron people on this season, let them know. Give them my number. Give them my email, and so we can be in touch and see what we can coordinate with that. Maybe we'll have a duck broadcast the game too. That could go over well. A duck call.
Yeah, why not? That might be a lot of fun. Yeah, Marco Linale from the River Ducks will be on at some point this season. So I'll pitch that to him. We'll see if we can get a little cross promotion going. You got any details on, wait, who are these guys now? It says more details to come. You want to wrap it up with anything fun you can reveal about that last promo of the year for the
Hillcats? I'm going to be honest. I don't know anything about that night. My guess is they haven't even discussed it yet. I do know they're going to do a what could have been night, which I think is going to be really fun. We're going to go back to our rebrand back in 2015. And we're going to ask the question, well, what would have happened if we had gone with one of these other names? Or what would have happened if Chase DeLauder had started in Lynchburg last season and gone to Lake County? So the original idea was to create a DeLauder poster as a giveaway with that night. But I think that got shut down because we're just trying to ask the question of, well, what could have happened if Lynchburg didn't get skipped over? Or what could have happened if we would have gone with a different rebrand or a different color scheme, or if we would have changed the name? So I think that's going to be a really fun night for the fans who have kind of followed the last 30 years and were a part of that potential name change and complete rebrand back in 2015, because it was a community vote. They're the only reason we're still the Hillcats. There were a lot of other names that we tried to go with, and I know
at one point, I remember that one.
Yep, the Lamb Chops, and yeah. Now we're tossing around the idea of the Hill City Skunks, I'm not going to reveal why we're tossing around that name because it may keep people away from the ballpark, but it is.
We're talking about.
I do have a video of my phone with our groundskeeper with a bow and arrow trying to clear some.
I remember hearing about those, yes.
So we've tossed around that name as well. We're just going to have some fun this year. It's going to be a great season in Lynchburg. We're really excited. We have a new marketing director who's actually my roommate, and I'm really excited about that. So he's coming in with some fresh ideas. Some of the guys that are teammates who are still in the office right now, they have some big ideas that we're going to run with. And so I think this is going to be one of the best years of Lynchburg baseball that we've seen in quite some time. And the community is really buying in. We're seeing ticket sales more than we've seen in the past, which I'm really excited for. It's going to be a great season in Lynchburg, and we have the players to prove it.
Yeah, that's a good way to wrap it up. I think it's going to be a fun season in Lynchburg. I imagine I will be bugging you to come on this podcast quite a bit this season. I know you're busy. You got real life going on, other stuff going on that you're working toward, which is all good stuff. But it's going to be good baseball, good promos, good broadcast. Everything's pointing in the up direction down there in Lynchburg. So, Jason, I appreciate you coming on. And follow Jason at JASPRILL19. Follow the Hillcats on Twitter. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss any of the action there. And, hey, buy MLB TV, but if you don't, as Jason said, you got a lot of opportunities. There's no excuse not to watch this team this year, honestly.
Absolutely not. And let me be the first to personally invite you. I'm the first broadcaster you're having on this year, so I can make this claim before anyone else can. You're not going to want to miss it. I would greatly appreciate it if you would tune into the broadcast this year. And not just for myself, for the players that are there as well. They've earned it. They're working hard. And oftentimes Lynchburg can get overlooked. But this is the first year in a long time that I think people are finally going to start paying attention to it. And I'm really excited about that. And I would be honored to have you join in and participate in our dialogue on the broadcast this coming year. So if you're tuning into the podcast and you're wondering, well, what am I going to do 30 minutes before the Guardians start at 7 o'clock tonight? Well, turn on the Hillcats game. I'd love to have you. I'd love to have you tune in. I'd love to have that dialogue on Twitter. Sorry, X, with you as the game's going on. So feel free to tune on in. This is your personal invitation from me to join us.
All right. You heard the man. Tune in starting Tuesday night, Hillcats and the Fredericksburg. What are they? The Fredericksburg Nationals. They're not fun. It's just the Nationals.
I know they're boring, but they have some great promos. They gave away a hockey jersey today, which was really cool. I thought about driving up there to get one, but I Maybe I'll text my their broadcaster, Eric Bach, and see if he can snag me one on their way down just to burn, you know, just tossing my fire out back.
Real man of the company right there, Jason. All right, well.
I have their rally towel sitting in my bathroom.
Ooh, I don't want a live shot of that. I think we can do without that one. Who knows what's going on there. All right, Jason, I appreciate it. And lots of good insights, lots of things to look forward to in Lynchburg this year. And you'll be back as often as time allows for you, because I'd imagine we'll have a lot to talk about this year.
Absolutely, Justin. Anytime. I'm glad to come on and join you and have these conversations. So anytime.
Yeah, lots of fun. All right, thanks for you for listening. And another episode of Guardians of the Future in the books to start the regular season. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about hopefully some Lynchburg wins. We should have six of them to talk about next week. That's what we should have, six Lynchburg wins to talk about next week, and a lot of other things in the Guardians minor league system. Thanks all for tuning in. We'll catch you again next week.